Good morning again. I missed you guys. So, what happened last week? Easter. There's like two answers. You guys got to wake up now. It was like a half answer too. Easter happened last week. Did you guys know that Easter is kind of a significant thing? Yeah? It's a thing. But guess what? It's not just one day. Did you know that? Easter is an entire season. 50 days, roughly, between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. That means I can still say things to you like, "He is risen." Risen indeed. It's like my favorite thing ever. Easter, 50 days. Takes us a while to process, doesn't it? How many of you guys think about resurrection every so often? If you're anything like me, when someone says resurrection, your brain immediately goes to like, okay, I know the stories. What are we talking about though? How many of you guys would say you've ever had like some kind of doubts or questions about resurrection? Yeah. I think if we're honest, all of us have. This is something that haunted me as a young man. Like I was just curious, you know, like people have been arguing about this for a long time. For like before Jesus, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us because Jesus was the one who got resurrected, which started our conversation. But the people that Jesus was having issues with, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders at the time, one of their biggest debates was resurrection. Was it possible for a body to be resurrected? And so, welcome to the team if you've ever had a doubt about resurrection. Now, on Easter Sunday, we are going to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are going to proclaim it. But guess what? We're still going to keep proclaiming it. The good part about it now is that we start to process things a little differently. Easter's the big moment, right? It's the moment where we proclaim that the tomb was empty. But then now a week has passed. Some people just kind of stop talking about it because, you know, we've had that moment. But the truth is, I think we're all still kind of thinking about resurrection. Even if it's not in the forefront of your brain, it's still one of those things that's going to come up in conversation. I have a friend of mine who is not a Christian, but was raised in a Christian household, so he knows just enough Bible to be really dangerous. You guys know these people? Yeah. And I, as a pastor, he likes to mess with me. He likes to get a rise out of me. He likes to see if he can irritate me. And I don't know if you've met me. I'm kind of hard to irritate most of the time. But he starts prodding. And we had this magical moment where Easter and April Fool's on the same day, and he came at me with everything he had. This is like my best friend, too. But he comes up to me. He's like, "Dan, resurrection, Jesus, you telling me Jesus is a zombie?" And immediately my mind goes to like Walking Dead, any of the horrible movies that came out. And every year now, like he did it this year, but he's done it in previous years, but this time he hit it home. Zombie Jesus. I think he has a t-shirt. I think he has a Zombie Jesus t-shirt. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, man, that's weird. And I'm like, so is resurrection. Resurrection is in itself kind of one of those things that makes people wonder. I actually don't have an issue that he's thinking about zombie Jesus because at least he's pondering it, right? Do you want to know the difference between me and him? There's not a whole lot. We still have doubts. The big thing is that I claim being a Christian. And what that means is I keep asking the questions. You see, I have doubts just like my friend. You never get rid of your doubts. Doubts are what drive you to think. Doubts are what make you question. And friends, if you don't ask the questions, how do you ever expect to get the answers? The difference is I'm still asking the questions. He's just thinking zombie Jesus is like the coolest thing in the world. I'm moving beyond that. Friends, I'm here today preaching resurrection to you. That doesn't mean I have it all figured out. That means I've witnessed it. If you've ever had doubts about the resurrection or any other aspect of your faith, you are in good company. I'm going to tell you a story. This is right out of scripture. This is why we wait a week to kind of talk about this, because we're not the only ones who are confused. This is the book of John, chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, I won't believe that unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound at his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. I chose this story because it's a very customary the week after Easter, because we're all kind of still thinking about it, so were the disciples, but also because it's fun. Confirmation students are with us today. I needed something that would entertain them, that would get them kind of thinking about things, and also let them know that any of the questions they still have are still valid. You're in good company. Thomas, do you know what we call him? Doubting Thomas. Oh, that idiot. I think Thomas is the only rational one. Let's be real honest. Thomas is the only one who's like, But you know what the funny part is? He's not even the only one. I'm going to paint this picture a little differently. I want to invite you guys to imagine this scenario with me. You guys have been following Jesus around for a couple years now. He's been healing people. He's been preaching. His teachings have stirred your spirit. You don't know what's going on, but you've seen things your brain just can't even fathom. There's miraculous things happening. And then guess what happens? He died. Buzzkill. Jesus died. And now the disciples who've been following him are like, well, if they killed the guy I'm following, they're probably going to kill me too. So they go hide. It says they're in a room with the doors locked. I love that. They're on the lam. They're just like laying low, probably have the lights off, whispering. And then this is my favorite part. It says Jesus appeared among them. And it says his first words are, "Peace be with you." That better be your first words, Jesus, because you just scared the heck out of that entire room. Can you imagine the fear? Your friend who's been dead just like suddenly like, what's going on in your brain? There are three people, I can tell you. Don't answer me. This is what happened. There are like three different people in that room. There's the one who just was like eating something very quietly and then sees Jesus and he's like, I call that open mouth man. There's definitely an open mouth man in that room. The second one, confirmation, some of you have done this in confirmation, the screamer. Oh, you better, you know, and that's the guy like who's running back to the wall like, what's happening? And then there's the third person. How many of you guys have ever seen Ghostbusters? This is the one that's trying to make contact, right? Like, we come in peace. Jesus beats him to it though. He says, peace be with you. He's trying to calm him down. He knows he just freaked him out. The disciples are not anticipating this. They didn't have a meeting with Jesus. Right? It wasn't like, I'll see you at 10:30. They thought he was dead, and now he's standing in front of them. It says they were overjoyed once he kind of showed them what was going on. He showed them his body. It says he breathed the spirit. I'll tell you right now, it's kind of interesting. Ghosts don't breathe, do they? Bodies do. The same account in the book of Luke, Jesus actually eats a fish. Like to show them, no, like seriously, I'm here. Like, look, it went down. The disciples doubted the entire time until that moment. Thomas wasn't there, and so when they go tell Thomas, Thomas is still like, no, I've heard these rumors. That would be great, but I need to see that to believe it. How many of you guys have ever said that? I need to see it to believe it. That's too good to be true. Anyone? We all do it. Probably the most human thing that we do. I need to see it to believe it. Thomas is just being very, very human. Now, I like the second thing. Jesus does the exact same thing again. Like, they're gathered in a room again. They got the doors locked. Thomas is with them this time, and Jesus does the thing where he shows up in the middle of the room. Someone still probably screamed. Thomas probably did all three of those things. And Jesus doesn't kick him out of the club. Did you realize that? Jesus isn't like, you idiot, you doubting Thomas, you. I don't know, I'm not good at mocking people. Jesus didn't mock Thomas. He just said like, hey, come over here. Touch this. This is what you said you needed. This is what I'm here to give you. And Thomas says, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. The disciples doubted all day long. Thomas doubted all day long. But guess what happened? Jesus showed up. Friends, I'm here to tell you that our God is the God who shows up. Don't matter if you doubt. Doesn't matter that half of them ran away from him, that they couldn't bear to be there when he died. God showed up. He showed them the wounds. He showed them his side. He let them touch him. He ate with them. Said he did other things with them. It started occurring to me when I started thinking about this. You see, the disciples thought the game was over. Do you realize that? People don't go hide because they're waiting for something new. They were hiding because they thought it was done. They thought this whole Jesus thing was done and over. They thought death was the end. What they found out was that not only is resurrection real, but resurrection is not an end, it's a beginning. You guys are finishing confirmation. Some of you are like, oh, sweet, I'm done. No, you're not. Sorry. Resurrection is just the beginning. You guys are being invited into a story of resurrection. Your journey is beginning today, not ending. There's something really interesting that we do. You see, the church continues to proclaim this story. We continue to say, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Because it wasn't Christ was risen. Right? Christ was risen. Like, yeah, okay. No, it's Christ is risen. It's not a was, it's an is. You see, resurrection is happening everywhere, all the time, in our lives. The reason I'm up here right now is because I have experienced resurrection in my life. The reason some of you are in this church right now is because you have experienced resurrection in your life. There have been places in your life where you have gone from a place of death, a place of unhealthiness, and you found resurrection, you found new life. And if you haven't found it, you're looking for it. Because resurrection is something we kind of understand in our hearts. A beginning, not an ending. Now, why is this important? Why are we even talking about it? One simple reason. I just told you, resurrection's happening in your heart. Now, what does this mean for you individually? It means you now have the ability to proclaim the resurrection. You see, Jesus, when he was there, he showed the disciples, but he didn't go out of his way to prove it to the entire world. In fact, Jesus really wasn't all that much about proof. Jesus didn't leave them like his finger or something. Like zombie Jesus would have left a finger, right? He would have said, you can show your friends, it'll still move or something like that. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus shows them and then sends them out to proclaim the good news. The disciples didn't spend their time trying to convince people about Jesus. They spent their time proclaiming what they had seen, what they had witnessed. You see, a lot of times we get into this habit where we must explain to people Jesus. Like we're going to convince them through argument that Jesus loves them. That doesn't work that way, for one thing. I've tried. Me and zombie Jesus have gone around and around with, he just doesn't get it. But you know what he does start to see, my friend? He starts to see the way my faith has affected my life. He starts to see the change that's happened in me. He starts to see the change that's happened in my family and those around me. I can look at him and I can say those changes, that's the resurrection, that's what's happening. The resurrection is happening. It's happening in your lives right now. I want you guys to hear that today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is still happening. It's happening in you. Are you seeing it? A lot of times we try to convince ourselves that something isn't real. We try to tell ourselves, oh, that didn't really happen, or we try to explain it away. But friends, that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your job is not to convince. Your job is simply to proclaim how you have been changed by this love. If you still have doubts and you still have confusion and you still have questions, welcome to the team. I'm a pastor. I still have more questions. I have more questions now than when I did before I became a pastor. They sent me to seminary and I'm like, I'm going to go learn everything. No. It's just more questions that led to more life that I can share with other people. Friends, the resurrection is happening in your lives. That tomb was empty. I'm still trying to figure out what that means. You should be too. The disciples sure as heck were. And here's the thing, when we start asking questions, guess what happens? Sometimes we get answers. Sometimes Jesus shows up in a scary place, freaks us out a little bit, and lets us understand something. Because our God shows up. He showed up and he let the disciples touch him. He let the disciples see his body. Friends, if you continue to ponder, if you continue on your confirmation journey, which is not ending but beginning, you will see Christ. You may not recognize Christ, but eventually you will, and you will begin to understand resurrection a little bit better, and you'll be able to share that with your friends. It'll become a part of you. You see, when you start recognizing resurrection, you start finding it in different places, places you never thought you'd see. Resurrection was not bound to that tomb. In fact, that's kind of the point. Not only was the door open, but it says that the linen wrappings were like folded up and kind of put there. Jesus left, went out, told the disciples. Then they went out and they left and they told other people. The resurrection is not something we contain. It's something we are a part of that's in us and through us. You guys get to be a part of that story today. You were a part of it before now, but now you maybe know a little bit more about it. Cool. Now here's the other question. What do you think the church should be doing about this? If the resurrection is an is, not a was, what is the church doing? Apart from getting me up here to talk about it, apart from getting Pastor Michael up here to talk about it last week, it's more than just proclaiming. It's about living into it. But how many of you have ever not felt safe in a church because you had questions or you had doubts? That's why my friend won't come to church. And he's stubborn. I mean, there's a little bit of both there. But friends, the church needs to be a place where we welcome people with doubts. Doubt is not a lack of faith. It's what you do when you're trying to understand your faith. The biggest thing is, When we doubt, but we stop asking the questions, that's problematic. That's just lazy. We've got to keep asking the questions. We've got to invite people in who have questions of their own. Primary thing that the church does, I said it earlier, the United Methodist Church specifically exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For the transformation of the world. How do you make disciples? You don't argue them in. You invite them in. You have conversation with them. You encourage their questions so that they start engaging. And friends, the church's primary goal is to say things like the tomb was empty and let people wonder. The church is a place that should inspire wonder. Because wonder is where your heart and your thoughts kind of meet. I guarantee you Jesus showing up in that room made people wonder. Hearing that the tomb was empty made people wonder. In fact, I know so because when the women who were the first carriers of the gospel came and told people the tomb was empty, they kind of wrote them off. But then guess what happened? Some of them started running to the tomb because they wanted to see for themselves. You don't hear things like the tomb is empty and not expect people to run and check the tomb. That's why we proclaim it from this area. That's why we say it to our friends. We say things like, he is risen. He is risen indeed. So that people will start to ponder what it means to be risen. It's okay if they don't believe. It's not your job to convince them. It's your job to make them wonder. It's our job to make them wonder. My confirmands, I hope that your life is filled with wonder. I hope that you don't get all the answers you look for. I hope you get some. I hope you get enough answers that drive your questions further. I hope that you begin to see Jesus work in your life in a new and different way. Not because Jesus is acting differently, but because you're paying attention differently. We invite you into this church through confirmation, through baptism, but it doesn't matter about us because the resurrected Jesus is the one who's really inviting you. I want you guys to ponder as we leave from here where you've seen resurrection. It's not just a one-time thing. It's been happening all your life. Start looking back at the things you told yourself weren't real. Go back to those moments and stop trying to convince yourself otherwise. Start thinking about it from the perspective of an empty tomb. Be a disciple for a little bit. Be nervous, be scared. But don't stop asking questions. And when you see Christ, when he stands in front of you, scream, mouth open, try to make contact, whatever, just don't ignore it. Because resurrection is a beginning, and it's a beginning of new life. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the odd weather that you've given us in these last couple weeks. We ask that you would be with us as we worship, as we pray, as we sing, as we teach, as we ask questions, as we find answers, as we do all the things that you would have us to do. But Lord, help us never to forget that that tomb was empty. Help us never to forget that we are a people of beginnings, not a people of endings. Bless us, guide us, give us the strength we need, the wisdom we need to be a part of this world. Help us to see you everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.